Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're listening to Radiance by Design because you and I are vibrational vehicles of light and we radiate. And everywhere we radiate, we have an impact on life. We have an impact on the environment. We have an impact on each other. We breathe in each other's radiance, if you will. And sometimes what we're radiating is leftover thoughts and feelings that we don't even care about anymore. So a lot of times in my work, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor that works very hard with you along with some wonderful guides and angels, mine and maybe yours too. I work with my guides and angels when I'm working with you to go inside and feel what is going on with your soul journey, whether your soul journey is coming into your personality, whether you're able to create in the world. We've all seen The Secret lately and other metaphysical movies that talk about creating your reality. My work is to help you unhook where you're creating the reality you don't necessarily want. So a lot of times that means unhooking energy patterns that might have come in from past experiences, old damages, past lives, other people's thoughts and feelings. Oh, heavens, and also, and here we are on it right now, the media. Sometimes we live vicariously in things like movies. We live vicariously in a very destructive and dangerous consciousness where we're into the killing and hacking and hewing mode and all of that thieving and doodah. And guess what? I'll answer that call in a minute. But very often that kind of interaction with consciousness creates patterns in our body, mind, emotional self. And those patterns will play out. So we might find ourselves being more afraid, more suspicious, more guarded, who knows, or even more devious. So I won't go on about movies right now because I'm going to talk to a caller because this is a call-in show. This is a show all about you, all about me, and I love it when you call in for your mini readings. But be prepared to be told where to unhook the kind of energy fields that you're running on the planet. So good morning, good afternoon. It could be morning where you are. Good afternoon, how are you?
Pretty good. Hello, Veronica.
Hi, who am I talking to?
Brian.
Hi, Brian. Did we talk to you last week?
Yeah.
Great. How are you doing this week? You're looking pretty good.
What's that?
You're looking good.
Well, that's good. I'm trying to clear that throat chakra, though.
Did you have something that really depressed you, like last year or something? I just want to say something here. The reason I'm asking Brian that is because when I look at your energy fields, Brian, there's some long-held kind of sadness or depression. It's not capital D depression, you know, you better take Zoloft. It's not like that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But there's something kind of like a shadow in there that's holding you back from having a real joie de vivre in yourself. And I'm going, I think it happened maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm not quite sure when. And we talked about your throat chakra last week. And I'm going, whatever happened triggered a feeling of not trusting life a little more. Can you think of anything like that?
Oh, man. I'm really trying to research here. Well, I got married here a couple years ago.
Okay, is that a good thing?
Yeah, that's a good thing. It's a little scary, you know, making those big steps, but it was definitely worthwhile.
Good.
And but a couple years back, maybe it was a big move, maybe it's life in general. I can't really pinpoint it.
How old are you right now?
I'm almost 32.
Oh, good.
I have a birthday coming up here in a couple weeks, so.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm seeing, because we're talking about the throat chakra, and that little energy center is where we transform life experiences and turn it into wisdom. And it's a tiny little center that is a gateway to wisdom, so it can get blocked. And the guys are saying here that for you, that blockage started building up a couple of years back, and it has a kind of a sadness and a doubt about yourself in it. And I believe when it whirls through your body and squeezes through that throat chakra, you're going to feel different. Do you see what I mean? You're going to feel brighter about who you are, a little more confident. And
so should I work on maybe get a healer and start healing or heal myself?
I think that would be just wonderful. But I would get a healer.
Okay. I know you recommended singing. I'll definitely start doing that more.
singing is just a perfect healing tool. Do you like to sing?
Yeah, to myself, but I need to build up the confidence to start singing to outward, you know, the people.
Yeah, well, it just looks like you need to keep moving. There's a sadness in you from way back, and that's what I'm also aiming for. We do the throat as a kind of a topical thing in a way. Mm-hmm. But before the throat started to get blocked, there was something deeper that made you kind of sad and a little doubtful about yourself. And if you can figure out what that is, or if you can just feel, maybe we'll just do this exercise. Get everybody at home to wrap yourself in light. Mm-hmm. And let's all call up a feeling of sadness deep within. And see if you can locate where that is or where it stores itself in your body. I don't think it'll be in the throat. I think it's down closer to the base of your spine. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel it?
A little.
Well, feel it a lot. Say, okay, I want to feel the whole darn thing. Come on up here.
Yeah.
That's how I talk to my energies when I find them.
This
I want to feel the whole...
Yeah, it comes up through the ground, you mean up through the feet, up into the body.
Yeah, well, it might be logged in your body just all the time right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like kind of a cloud or a vague grayness that's way back in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But if you call it up and feel it, and call it up, you'll notice that you might start to sweat. You might find it pushes on various parts of your body and surprises you. It's just
I felt that before.
Okay, so let's exaggerate it and ask it to come on up and ask for help from our guides and angels. You've got some in your feet as well. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
And then you ask for help from your guides and angels and ask them to please take it. Just take that feeling now. And it's funny because your head gets lighter when we say take it. I don't know if you noticed that.
A little bit, yeah. That was the one other thing I was wanting to ask was about the third eye. I know you've mentioned that I had a strong third eye, and I wasn't sure what that meant.
It means that you have the capacity to be very intuitive and to see things. And if you don't see things, to sense things, know things, smell things, feel things that are not necessarily third dimensional.
Is it kind of like being clairvoyant, clairsentencing, clairaudient, something like that?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I call it the family of clairs, the clair family.
No one could ever tell me what I had, and I never realized what I had. I kind of had clairaudient, but I wasn't sure what that meant, you know.
And how did they know? Are you talking about what you perceive?
Yeah, like hearing things far away and then realizing that what I heard was, you know, far away. And I don't know how they describe it. It's kind of hard to describe, I guess, over the phone.
Well, I think you're very, very intuitive. That's what I think.
I wasn't sure what gifts. That's what I was looking for, what kind of gifts I had.
You have a gift of understanding. The guides are saying immediately clairsentience. That means feeling what other people feel. Beg your pardon?
Okay. Huh.
You're also, do you write?
No, that's what I've heard before, that I could put my thoughts down or keep like a dream journal.
Mm-hmm. Well, my recommendation to you is you do some clearing. Do you do energy? I mean, do you do physical workout?
I used to, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, honey, I think you should do it again, because one of the greatest ways to open your sensing and being clearer about your third eye is to do a really wild workout of some sort. And that
I've heard about that. I've heard before that you've talking about like the fire breathing, or what you call it, just workout, let your body go, like a wild dance, and it raises the vibration of the body. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it shakes off all the old stuff that's just attached to you. And also, I want to tell you that when I used to ask myself a question about something I was interested in, and then I'd do this wild workout, the answer would just emerge, and that's how I started seeing. I saw anyway, but I didn't see it under my control. This is how I started to control seeing and choosing to see.
So you just let it flow, and you get the feeling. I see. You let the feeling build up, and then you can expand. I see.
Well, what I found is this: as you do your dance or your boogie or your workout or however you do it, you're clearing off interfering energies, which are actually things, you know. They clear off. And with your intention and that clearing, then all of a sudden what emerges is visions and sights. And some of the questions you ask will be answered. And that's a practice. It's like a meditation, in fact. It's called chaotic meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I just did it because it worked for me. But then I found out it's called chaotic meditation. I guess Rajneesh and various other healers taught that kind of thing, but I did not know that. I just stumbled on it. Anyway, I can't talk to you too long because I have other people.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, Veronica.
Keep us posted.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Now, what's really interesting is I wrote a lot of you. A lot of you got my little flyers saying I was going to talk about change as a foundation of spirituality. And one of the things we're talking about with the trance dance, for example, is that invigorates your whole body mind, gets your senses flowing, it gets your neurotransmissions changing, your endorphins free up. You are inducing the kind of change that will actually open you to greater consciousness. And it's really, again, a great foundational principle for spirituality is change. And what I'd like to, and I'm going to talk about all kinds of changes today, so if you call in, be prepared for that. Maybe you'll teach me about some of the changes that you bring to yourself so that you can evolve and so you can become more and more authentic and step out of the traps and the repeated patterns of your past. The first thing I like to do is I recommend that we change the energy in the room or wherever you are. Hello, we have a caller. Can you wait just till I do this little exercise, please?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. What I'd like to do is change the energy of our environment. So what we're going to do is call in the presence, and if I ask you all to join me in this, call in the presence of spirit of our guides and angels. And now let's call in the violet flame from Saint Germain. And the violet flame is like a whirling, cyclonic flame, which cleanses, purifies, and transforms all the leftover thoughts and feelings. So let's call in the violet flame and have it burn and burn in the corners of your room, burn and grow and transform all the leftover thoughts and feelings, and have grow from one corner to the next, so it's moving around to the right in a grand circle and becoming a great bonfire in the center of your room. Now, most of you can feel, the violet flame as it crackles and burns and crackles and burns and grows right there where you are. And as it burns and grows, feel it changing the dynamics in the room, opening the room for new thoughts and feelings and for the transformation of that which has been left over. Now, run it around your body, round and round and round your body, really tightly, and there you are standing in a violet flame as if you're a witch burning at the stake, but hey, this is a consciousness burning, and you're burning so that you can have a higher consciousness. Now, good afternoon. We have a caller. You're welcome. How are you?
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Alexis from Ontario.
Great. How are you, fellow Canadian? We talked last week, yes.
Pardon me?
We talked last week.
Was it last week? Yes. Yes,
I
was near the end of your show, and I was just wondering if you could maybe continue a little more.
Well, that's kind of tricky. Let's talk to you about change, because you have a strong spiritual energy around you. You've got your angels pushing you and wanting you to dynamically open up and perceive what's around you and really work in the world as a healer. I think that's what we were talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's a very, very precious thing. So let's do some exercises with you. Because you might say, Alexis, are you meditating?
Yes.
Okay. And do you meditate very often?
A lot more since we spoke last week.
Right on. Why do we meditate? Because it's a great cosmic clean-out tool. It gets the mind detached from all of its thoughts and feelings long enough for you to get some higher frequency energy. And I've seen
mostly I've been meditating just to do clearings.
Good. Good girl. And how do you feel?
A whole lot better.
You know what? You have such a sweet light. It's really amazing. And you're going, are you quite a speaker? Because you're going to be teaching a lot of people in time. Did we talk about that last week?
Very little bit. That was kind of near the very end, and I wasn't really catching what you're saying because my phone's fuzzy.
Oh, well, dust it off so it's not fuzzy anymore. What I'd like you to do is do more meditations, and I'm going to tell everybody that one thing that works very well when your brain is kind of agitated or clogged is to do rapid panting through the nose for 2 minutes, and everyone has 2 minutes worth of time. So, Alexis, what I'm seeing in you is because you have a fairly soft but an electrical kind of energy field, it's easy for you to attract in or magnetize all kinds of little bits of energy that are floating around. We'll call them thoughts and feelings. And sometimes just rapid panting like is a really good way to clear that up very swiftly. Because you're going to step forward and you're going to start teaching some kind of, I think you're going to actually be employed doing this. But you look like you're going to be teaching some kinds of small classes and groups, and they will grow, and there will be an actual curriculum. And you're going to teach people how to maintain their balance as they go into becoming more and more sensitive and connecting with the angelic realm. Does that sound good to you?
Oh, yes. Yes. So you're saying that that I pick up and basically absorb all the negative stuff around me?
I didn't put it quite that extremely. I said that your fields, not everybody is really, really electrical. You are quite electrical, and your fields magnetize or work electronically with a lot of things that are floating in the air. So you need to do clearing on a regular basis for two reasons. One is because you're going to want to step forward in a purified fashion, and two, that's going to make you magnetize other people's leftover stuff really easily. So you just have to stay on top of it. Don't panic.
Okay.
Just say, I have to clear more often than some people because I'm amazing.
Okay.
You know, it's part of the job. How's that?
Yeah.
I'm also very, very electric, and I know a lot of people. I know a million people because I'm 100 years old now. But the thing about being electric is that I know a lot of people who don't have that kind of energy. But my clothes can really sting me after a while because my electricity is sitting in the fabric, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you're just like me. I'm saying it's a thing you have to learn about yourself when you're becoming authentic, is what makes you tick? What's so unique about you, and how do you nurture the you plant that you are? And for you, it's a lot of baths, a lot of breathing techniques, a lot of meditation, and then a lot of sharing, because you have a great deal to share with the planet. Does that make sense?
Well, kind of. Not really sure.
You're not sure?
No.
Well, what's your final question? Then I have to go here.
You said I have a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, and I was just wondering how I guess through meditation that I contact the guide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You have now everybody at home can, let's do a little exercise on contacting our guides, okay?
Okay.
And you can either stay on the line or
phone's
gonna
die. Hang on, I gotta switch phones.
Okay.
Okay.
I want everybody to wrap yourselves in light, and here's a way to connect with your higher guidance. Now remember, sometimes when you connect, some of you are going to be connecting to your higher self, which is really you. And then also we have guides and angels. So we're going to do a little connection exercise. And I'd like you to wrap yourselves in light. And I'd like you to draw, let's see, how we do this. From the great central sun way above, see a golden light dropping down into your head. And like syrup, see it circling around and round and round in your head. You can actually feel it. It's soft. It's maybe warm, but it's got a bit of electricity, kind of like gold might have. And it moves around and round in your head, softening and soothing in your brain. And now it just runs straight through your body and right into the core of the earth. and then draw it back up and shoot up to the great central sun. Now stay still in your body just for a second. Do you feel a kind of a current running through your body? Now, some of you might need to take some really deep breathing time. Rapid panting is a very kind of the cliff notes of pranayama. It's really an easy style of raising your frequency through breathing. And then you raise your frequency. And then you pray. You say to your guides and angels, feel free to speak through me or speak to me. You know, just welcome it. But what you've done is set up a sensitive relationship to that higher frequency energy that's around you all the time. And ask them for a sign. And ask them to show you who they are or give you some kind of identifying feature of who they are. This is a real simplistic way of starting. But I know when I do that little exercise, even right now, my body is buzzing like mad. And the guides sometimes feel like they're kind of scritching the top of your head like a puppy. Scritch, scritch, scritch. And you know you're connected. Then when you ask for a sign, you just ask them to reveal themselves to you. Sometimes if you're trying really hard and you've got your eyes squeezed shut and your little brain's just demanding it coming in, you won't feel anything for a while. So you better just start breathing like mad and clearing and releasing and then asking again for a sign. Yeah, and I know, Alexis, your guides are right around you. In fact, I feel a really strong, loving guide behind Alexis. But she also has a great deal of kind of angelic energy around her, just little angel. What I see is kind of a fluttering and a very soft, white, feathery-looking kind of energy that really tickles her and talks to her. Those are signs, too. When you feel your face being touched or you feel your head being scritched, just stop. And presence that you're actually being communicated with. And when you ask for a sign, very often people get a book falling off a bookshelf or in a bookstore or something, or they get somebody giving them something that they have been dreaming about, that kind of thing. It's very exciting. I recently asked my guides for somebody to help me with my hair. I said, I need to get a haircut, and I'm scared because I don't always trust haircutters. Please bring me somebody. And then a friend who's in Florida, and I'm in Bellingham, Washington, emailed me and said, just up the street from you, there's a wonderful woman who works with the energy, the natural energy flow, sacred geometry, and hair. Boom, that was probably in a day and a half. That is a sign. That's bigger than a sign. It's a capital S sign that I actually have a guide who's actually bringing me some material at this point. So ask for something that you want, or simply ask for a sign that they're there. And actually, here's the other thing, is sometimes what happens is your guidance begins to appear in colors. So you might feel this sort of gold. When I say feel gold, many of you who are intuitive, well, everybody listening to this show has got to be intuitive, or you wouldn't be bothering, really. But when you're tuning in to that which is etheric, very often you will feel certain color presences, or you'll mix up your sensations, so you'll feel that your guide is green or your guide is gold or whatever. Just enjoy it. Believe it. Don't think too much. Don't sit there and discuss it with yourself and say, did this really happen? You bet it did. Jot it down. Take a little notebook and jot it down. Or speak back to them. Say, I feel you. I feel your presence. Because very often with our guidance, what happens is if you respond back, then they respond to you, and then you start building up your communication and your rapport. So I hope that helps a lot of you begin to get in touch with your guides. Many of you already are, I understand that. And like with Brian, many of you, you focus on the third eye and you really spend time looking in behind your brow, taking your inner eyes and pointing them at that third eye section, which is just in the brain, just in behind your brow. If you can just look at that, you very often relax the fact that it's kind of protected against being too open, I guess, because of society. And it starts to relax that those fields that protect it, those fields that tighten and surround it. Oh, and one other thing that you can do, many, many other things, but this one is fun. If you're with a friend and you sit and stare at each other between the brows, it's amazing. You will start getting visions. You will start, if you stare long enough, things will start changing, and you will begin to see, possibly even hear, feel things. So it's a really fun little game to play that really opens up, excites, if you will, that part of your brain which allows it to open up and be more receptive to externally, to your guides, is what I'm trying to say. And what's the difference between guides and angels? Well, from my perspective, the angels look like, they seem to fly. We've always heard that, right? Angels fly because they take themselves lightly, right? They seem to fly, and they seem to flutter, and they seem to cause little, for me, it's like wisps of change around. When I look at Alexis, she has it going on all around her field, these little white wisps of moving energy that seem to caress or brush her skin. And the guides are usually much steadier, much more like a human presence around, they're usually located in specific areas, like they'll be on the left side all the time if it's an intuitive kind of push, or a right side all the time if it's some sort of drive to get something done. And if it's for real empowerment, they seem to come into the center. And I've noticed that the ones who show up, like for a while, you will have one that shows up regularly, because they actually, maybe they'll show up to be a really powerful leader and somebody who's very strong, and perhaps they'll have garb on, this etheric garb that looks like a gladiator or a king or something. And usually my experience has been that they're there to epitomize something that you're trying to grow into. Oh, goody, another caller. I'll just finish this thought and then you'll be on the air. It's something that you're growing into. So if you're trying to be a leader, or if you're trying to be a performer, you'll probably have a guide around you who's better at that than you are, and who will stand in his costume or her costume radiating that. Or if you're wanting to be more maternal or a powerful woman, you'll get these amazing feminine presences. It's wonderful. They're just here to say, hey, I can guide you because I have embodied this wisdom now. So feel it and ask what it is they're teaching you at any given time. They can't take over your life. They can only guide you. All right, we have another caller. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Veronica. It's Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm having a great day.
I wanted to tell you and ask you about this deal that happened to my son on Sunday. His cousin died last year, and this has happened two times, but in the daytime, he was laying in bed taking a nap, and his wife and him physically watched the covers push down around his legs.
Wow.
That's what I thought, because I have had that happen to me several times at night, but they actually saw the indentation.
Wow. Did they enjoy it, or were they freaked?
Well, I've been telling him it's Brandon, so, you know, I know they know that's who it was. You know, even though it's happened to me hundreds of times, it still freaks me out a little bit.
I had that. Hmm?
I think that in the beginning they were a little, they liked it, you know, they were a little odd, but, you know, afterwards they know. And then it was the day of Brandon's son's birthday, which they were about to go to.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And
did they ask for a message?
Pardon me?
Did they ask him for a message?
Well, you know, I'm just convincing them to start talking to him.
You know, it's interesting. Some of them can't. I have a lot of ghost stories. But anyway, some of them can't speak very well, because I gather that kind of direct communication isn't necessarily easy for them when they're on the other side.
Yes.
But they can play kind of games to get the message across. So tell them not to be discouraged, but certainly ask for a message.
About a week before that, my son was going through Costco, and he saw somebody that looked, he was almost convinced it was him, to the point where he spoke to him. And I've heard that a lot of times they can do that.
I believe that, too. And oftentimes when they show up, it's through somebody else, meaning if you meet a person who looks like somebody who's already passed.
Yeah.
Very often it's just to tell you, it is a message, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to let my son know he's still around.
And that he's all right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Was your son close to him?
Yeah, very.
But he was very distressed when he left, wasn't he?
Brandon was, yes.
Yeah. I think he's also trying to work his way out of some level of distress that he died with. Do you understand?
Well, yeah. They found him slumped over his steering wheel dead in a grocery store parking lot, and he was very, very depressed before that. He was only like 26 years old. He was trying to get help, but his heart just gave out, I guess.
Was he doing some drugs?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, bless his heart, because literally, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to, you know, if we die in total confusion, I gather it, our consciousness anyway, our mind can remain confused for quite a while. And one of the things we can do is we can work with beings on the other side. When they show up and they're confused, we can tell them what we see and that they're okay. You know, we can actually pass messages back and forth that help people undo the intricacies of how they left.
So what?
And it's nice when, like for your son, it would be good for him to think he was actually being useful with Brandon.
Yes, I agree.
Because your son has many questions around that.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was.
He
really
seems to feel. Yeah, he seems to feel quite still kind of full of. I get full of questions about him and what happened, you know?
Yeah, it was totally unexpected and shocking and, you know, the whole bit. Not that everybody didn't realize he was in bad shape, but just, you know, just the whole event.
Well, you know, the other thing that's really interesting is our lives are so packed with people, but this death has activated your son's consciousness.
You know, that's exactly what I thought. When I was young, I had two boyfriends die in a row, and it did the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feeling it was also to help activate his sister, Brandon's sister, Stephanie's consciousness.
And it has, hasn't it?
I don't know. I don't have any connection to her, but I know that she's a seven like I am, which is very spiritually seeking. And I knew something was going to happen in her younger life to, you know, wake her up like my boyfriend's dying did me.
Well, the thing about her is she's still very sort of lost in it. The hurt is too much, right?
Yeah.
I guess she was also very troubled, huh?
Yeah, I think the same thing with her mom. I think that, yeah, his immediate family is probably still avoiding the real realness of it.
Well, bless your niece's heart, because she's going to be quite an interesting woman. She's young yet, though, huh?
Yeah, she's probably, I think maybe 23 or 22, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think she's stretching out and beginning to find more and more clarity. But I'm glad Brandon's showing up, but he needs help. Remember that.
What would you have my son say to him?
We know you're here. It's just very simple acknowledgement. We know you're here.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling him.
And are you all right, you know? We want to know how you are. Just leave it at that and don't expect a huge interaction back and forth right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you one more quickie thing. At the end of January, I was laying in bed at night, and my whole body, it was after I listened to Jackie Salvetti's first deal where she said that her ETs would work on you. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I agreed to it. Well, right after that, my whole body vibrated, and I was wide awake.
Did you love it?
Yeah, I'd heard some other people talk about that happening. I don't know what was going on, but I was like I was on a vibrator for a really long time. I'm not quite sure what was happening, but it was cool.
Did it evoke a consciousness in you?
You know, this year, ever since the beginning of the year, I have been really determined in my head and in my asking and in my meditations to just get on with what I came down here to do, and I felt like that was also just in a long line as a result of my desire just to plain get on with it.
Well, you know, can I explain something? Because I think it's really relevant to the people at home as well, is that Jackie's team was working on you in such a way as to unlock. And we talked at the very beginning of how we have old negative patterns stored in our body mind. We're such a library. And they helped you vibrate the unlocking of it. That's why I asked if your consciousness had shifted. And that's really important. And actually, you can call that in probably at any time, although it's a little discombobulating, isn't it?
Yes.
But to call it in is really a good idea. I ask people at home, if you decide to do this, make sure you set your room up in a sacred space and call it in a state of intention and in a state of real respect and spiritual connection, because it's literally shaking apart the way that you've held negative patterns in. And you're going to have three or four more of these episodes over the next while.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, you'll like them, because by the end of summer, you look like you're quite different. Like,
oh,
you're
great.
Still in the process of not being sure about yourself, about a few things, but then you're going to be standing up really strong by the end of the summer and doing things very differently.
Well, it's definitely my desire.
Well, I'm saying it's definitely your roadway, girl.
Cool.
So shake up the storm. Shake it, baby, now. But remember, do it with respect and spirituality. Even though I was being funny, I still have very deep reverence for
that
which is going on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's very fun to talk with spirits. This is not what I was going to talk about today. But my first husband died, which kind of sent me off into more of a tizzy and initiation phase I had to grow and learn. And by the time he died, I was a bit angry with him because of circumstances, which I won't go into here. So when he first showed up, I ignored him. I told him to go to the light and leave me alone. But later, I grew up a little bit, which is fortunate, isn't it? I got over my anger and my frustration. And he would show up, and he couldn't. He was very bright and very funny, but he could not talk. And so he would play. We used to play a lot of charades when we were younger. So he would play charades. So I would be watching this spirit being and guessing, you know, what letter it is, what word it was. It was hilarious. I would laugh so hard as we did this silly game. And if anybody was watching me, I looked kind of like a Fruit Loop, didn't I? You know, answering, seeing stuff nobody else could see. But eventually he learned to speak. In fact, I said to him, you're going to have to learn to speak, because this takes so darn long and I don't always have the time to stop and play charades with you. And later I learned a great deal from him, not just as my teacher, but as a buddy who was on the other side and expanded and grew. So it's very, very interesting talking with spirits. I didn't ever want to do it, but I'll tell you what, when they come now, I listen. And it's really very, very, it's a reminder of how ancient our souls are and how many ways we travel and how many dimensions and so on. It's just wonderful. And the other thing is that we can do a great deal of healing. So, for example, if a mother comes to her child and the mother is on the other side, or even the reverse, and they have had some sticky issues and so on, there can be a great deal of healing, not only of the mother and daughter, but it can unhook the huge lineage, you know, how the family of origin, sometimes our lineage has, for example, total repression of all the women, or a cynical Dudov of the women. There'd be some kind of principle like that that seems to just go right down, da-da-da-da-da, all the way down the line. And suddenly a woman, a matriarchal woman, shows up from the other side and chooses to experience with you. My recommendation, if this happens to you, for example, you experience it with her, she experiences it with you, and both of you really feel the confinement from that particular issue. And when you do, it's amazing. It's like Vicky talking about shaking, rattling, and rolling with the guide's help that night after Jackie's show. You might feel, if this woman, or it can be a father, it doesn't have to be a mother, it doesn't have to be any particular arrangement of people, but as you shake and feel the pushing and pulling of that amazing old program, it's funny, it just shakes apart, and then the whole lineage gets free. So instead of just going life after life of living out our vengeances and our completions and so on, you can actually do it with a spirit being. How do I know this? Because I've seen it over and over again in all of my years as an intuitive. And I love it. I don't believe in hanging on to the beings on the other side. But hey, if they've got something they want to get free of and they want to help their family of origin or their lineage get free too, great. Let's go for it. And what I was, because it's all energy. We're all energy. We're living in an energy soup, aren't we? And I often mention that we have so many influences on us, including the mass consciousness, the great soup of consciousness that goes around the world, the tons of thoughts and feelings that come from everybody. And quite often we just absorb those thoughts and feelings and we think they might be our own. The process of authenticating, becoming who you really are, is sometimes kind of tricky. Because we're not given all the pieces of the puzzle. It's kind of a labyrinthian ocean, you know, where you have to wander around and go up and down some blind alleys. So I like saying how we're like herd animals. You've probably heard me say this before if you've listened to this show, that we're like herd animals. We breathe in one another's consciousness and we share it in that fashion. And right now I'm reading, I'm getting wiser about this. Oh, first, I'll say something about myself as a child. When I was little, one of the most perplexing things about my life was that, and it really hurt me deeply, actually, but it drove me to become a psychic, is that the big people that we knew in the olden days were not, the word is coherent, right? They weren't really what they were. So they could say something simple like, I'm really glad to see you. And what they were feeling inside is, I can't stand you and I don't want you here. So that distance between what was outside and what was presented, this is how you be a good girl. And then inside you see them absolutely lying and being mean and so on. And on the outside they're telling you that these are the rules. I remember being very, very distressed by that as a very small child. And I was perspicacious, I guess you'd say. I was a kind of a volatile character who was very awake and very aware as a little kid and certainly opinionated. So I imagine that I created a bit of ruckus as I discovered all these various things. And I had decided that God was a bit of a jerk, or no, I loved God deeply, which I always did, but I also thought he was pretty stupid because he hired some pretty strange teachers and leaders in his world who had that lack of coherence. So then I used to decide, well, gee, when I grow up, I'm going to figure out how big people work. Maybe I'll be a doctor. But I want to know how big people work because what they say is not what they mean, and there's something about good and bad that's lost in the middle of there. And I don't know what to do. So here I am looking into people and seeing how they work, which is a successful affirmation if I ever heard of one. But the thing, what I'm saying, that was a preamble. Because I'm reading a book right now called Riding Between the Worlds. And I mentioned on my email flyer that I was also reading The Tao of Equus and another book called Hope Rising. And these books are all about rescue horses and the consciousness of horses and how these days equine psychotherapy is a huge, rapidly moving wildfire kind of awareness that is very, very thrilling, and I have a number of clients very involved in it. But reading Riding Between the Worlds has been so touching for me and so illuminating, because it's talking right at the beginning about how we live very much like this in a sea of energy, and everything is energy, we all know that, right? And that with horses, for example, they don't like human beings a lot of times, or they're very afraid of human beings for that same incoherency thing. That if you go near a horse and you're not what you say you are, so if you say you're very abused, okay, and you're acting polite on the outside, the horse will freak out with you. But apparently if you go to a horse and speak of your sadness and your abuse and your interest in what, transforming it, the horse is right there with you and will nurture you and love you and help you through it. But as soon as you're incoherent, guess what? The horse is terrified of you. Because where people are incoherent, it's really interesting. We aren't trustworthy. I don't care how nice we think we are and how well behaved we are. But if what's inside us is very different from what's on the outside, we are not trustworthy. We're someone who will do whatever it takes to survive. The other place, I still watch this. If you look at people's eyes, you want to turn and look at each other's eyes, there's a kind of an interesting way in which eyes tell you where people are not coherent, and you can tell whether they're hiding an abuse issue or whatever, and maybe that's getting too intuitive for radio. So So anyway, I was really fascinated to be reading Riding Between the Worlds, and that's the basis for psychotherapy with horses. But you know what? It should be the basis of psychotherapy with us, too, shouldn't it? Because here we are trying to be authentic. And why? Because if you're doubled up inside with a whole bunch of reactions, but then on the outside you're acting a different way, well, you know, if you want to look at it just in terms of being helped or appreciated, people will feel afraid of you. People will walk around you. People will betray you. People will, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we radiate out there that just comes back to us because we're not really being authentic. I find it really exciting that this stuff is hitting the world like wildfire. And you don't even have to be doing horses to really get a lot out of these books. Very exciting. So one of the things I like to do, talking about being authentic and being in integrity and so on, one of the things I like to talk about is setting up the energy fields of who we are. Let me see, I'm jumping away from being in integrity with oneself. So let's see if we can do an exercise on that first. How can you become coherent within yourself? Well, you know what my guides always say? It's like 95% clearing. So let's take a minute and do some clearing exercise. Let's pick the word, let's see. Let's pick just something simple like defensive. One of the things we do, if we do clearing exercises regularly, we literally shift our way out of all of these self-styled ways of concealing what we really are. And usually when you talk to people, they'll say, well, I'm afraid if I really am who I am, I won't be a nice person. Au contraire, most of us are very, very nice people. It's our reactions that aren't so hot sometimes. So let's pick a word like defensive. And let's again call in our guides and angels, Mother, Father, God, and Creator Spirit, and ask for help here. Yeah. And now, swiftly wrap yourself in light. We do that so that we don't send our messages of frustration or whatever it is we're trying to clear out for other people to breathe in. Now ask yourself to call up all the energy of defensive. I'm defensive, I'm defensive, I want to feel it, I want to feel it. And where is it in your body? Remember, we're like libraries, we're like filing cabinets, and we keep our emotions filed carefully in certain parts of the body. So where do you file defensive? You can feel it if you call it up. You're going to feel all the energy of being defensive. Aha! I've got it in a number of places in my body. Where do you have it? And now exaggerate it. I'm defensive, I'm defensive. You can even put up your dukes, tighten your fists just for a minute to exaggerate it. Good. And now let's ask for help from our guides and angels. And let's command total release of that energy now. Total release. Mm-hmm. Now, you should feel at least a bit of a shift. Now, remember, energy doesn't want to die just like people. So it will leave, but it will want to go right back to where it was. But it'll never go back as much as the first time. You know, when it'll never go back fully like when you started. Now, one of the interesting things about that exercise, oh, wait a sec, we should finish it by running a golden light through your body. I call it the light gargle. Swish your body out with a golden light. Swish your body out. Good work. And then one of the things you can do is say to your higher self and your guides and angels, reveal to me whenever I'm being defensive. Because you know something? If we're defensive, we usually lose ourselves. But if we shift defensiveness, very often what starts coming up are new ways of handling things. Maybe your light will be brighter. Maybe you'll find it much easier to acknowledge someone else in the middle of what might have been a defensive situation. We don't know. But I promise you this, if you release defensive, you're going to find much more graceful, much more elegant ways of responding to human interaction. So there was a little bit of our headed toward authenticity, and there goes an ego by the window. That's a very good sign. One of the other things that we like to do is to set up coherent energy fields. Take responsibility for actually creating the energy that you walk in on the planet. Now, there are many, many ways to do that. I don't know if we're going to have time to do a structure today, but quite often we do what we call the structures. But I'd like to talk today about bringing in the seven directions. Now, the seven directions, when you do this, what happens is you actually set your body's energy field. You set your own energy field to work in harmony and to bring in the advantages of each of the directions on our planet. And according to this book I'm referring to right now by Barbara Han Clow and Jerry Clow, The Alchemy of the Nine Dimensions, according to it, let's see here. When your heart and mind are informed by the six sacred directions and your heart resonates with the totality of your energy field, you are fully expanded. Once you experience correct orientation, you'll never go back to being contracted unless you're traumatized emotionally and knocked out of your center. Even then, you can reorient yourself when you're ready. So what we're going to do is call in the seven directions. And what they say is, it's like the structures in that it sets you up to buffer you. We keep hearing about turmoil on the planet these days, or fear energies, the kinds of stuff that we're trying to move beyond so we can really be ourselves, not just reactive selves. So here's a proactive way of setting up your rapport with life on the planet in such a way as you will be a creative contributor to anywhere you go, and you'll also be protected. So here it is. What you'd like to do here is face the east. Can you figure out where the east is in your world? We see the eagles in the east here today anyway. All right, so you want to stand facing the east. Take a few deep breaths. Now you're in your sacred center. And now call in the presence of the spirits of intuition, of wisdom, and feel the energy. And now turn in the opposite direction to face the west. And call in the spirit of the west, the spirit of transformation, and ask for the spiritual support for your personal transformation. I often think of a snake at this point. To me, the snake is the transformational symbol. I see many in my world. Not in real, in the vision world. And now turn to face the south. Quarter turn to face the south. And call in the spirits of warmth, of love, of expansion, and of nurturing. And then turn a half circle and face the north and call in the spirit of ancient wisdom and ask for the support and the spirit of ancient wisdom. And then face the east again and squat down, put your hands on Mother Earth and call up the spirit of Mother Earth. I always throw in a little prayer, teach me to be in integrity with your energy today. And then stand up and raise your arms up into the sky to Father Sky and feel the power and the strength as sky, as Father Sky meets the earth and in the gateway to all the higher dimensions meets you on the earth. And then place your hands over your heart and really remind yourself that you want to work with your heart and in your heart for the day. Now, what does that feel like? Can you actually feel the energies around your body? Ask them to remain with you as you wander through the next period of your day. It's very important for us all to learn to set up dynamically, to be proactive and set up multidimensional energetic support, because guess what? We're moving through big changes as a species right now. We're racing lickety-split toward 2012. I keep hearing about the plasticity of time. We're stepping out of the tyranny of time. Things are happening very fast. There's a lot of polarization going on, and I've really enjoyed talking to you. I think I have, how many more minutes do I have? I have 5 more minutes. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I didn't give the numbers once today. I'm awfully sorry. I hope all of you, I guess you all have the numbers sitting there on your website. Please tune in on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, where Jackie Salvitti and her team are going to bring us into awareness of the shadow and how the shadow functions in our body-mind. And eventually, she's going to do what they did with shame, and that is to do a sacred dispensation, moving the shadow along. And I'd love you to email me, Veronica, at veronicaentwistle.com. Entwistle is spelled E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E. That's Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. And my website is going to be under construction very shortly. It's going to be very exciting in about a month and a half. But right now, it's www.veronicaentwistle.com. I'd love to hear from you. So let's see how we can end this, is that we talked about taking responsibility for what it is you're putting into the world. If you want to be authentic, you want to find out where your reactions are and call them up and feel them. You can actually change. Your reactions are simply energy. So you can call them up, feel them, and change them so that they don't have to dominate without your, you know, so many times they run from the subconscious and they seem to run without you. Well, you can interrupt that process and really become attuned to which reactions are doing what at one point. And I said to you, ask your higher self about defensiveness. Ask your higher self to reveal to you when you're feeling defensive and when you're acting defensive. And guess what? Over a period of a few days, you're going to kind of go crazy because your defensiveness is going to show up like nobody's business. So I think we're done. Next week, I will give the numbers more often. And I thank you for those of you who called in. And we'd love to talk to you soon. If you'd like a session with me, it's 510-595-5564. I'll repeat that, 510-595-5564. Again, this is Veronica Entwistle. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. West Coast time.